Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live lesson on dub echo automation from scratch for drum and bass, modern control, vintage tone. And I want you to reframe what dub delay means in DNB. It's not just put a delay on a return and call it a day. In proper dub tradition, the delay is an instrument. You perform it. You throw a sound into a feedback loop. You ride a filter like it's a mixing desk. You do little time moves that feel risky. And then you snap everything back into place before the drop hits. The goal today is to build a return track dub echo system that can get unstable and vibey on command, but still stays mix safe, recallable, and easy to automate in arrangement. Let's set the context first. Tempo, 172 to 176 BPM. This matters because your ducking and your delay timing have to recover fast enough to keep the groove intact. Typical throw targets, snares on 2 and 4, vocal chops, jungle stabs, riser hits into drops, and the occasional random percussion hit just to make the loop feel alive. Now, step 1. Create a dedicated return track. Create return track. Name it Dub Echo. Start the return fader around minus 12 dB. And here's the rule for the whole workflow. We're not going to mix this with the return fader. We'll set it, then we'll mainly perform with send automation and macros. That's what makes it feel like an instrument, not an effect you set and forget. Next. Build the core device chain on the return. In this order, echo, then auto filter, then saturator, then compressor for sidechain ducking, and finally a limiter as the safety net. Let's dial in echo first, because that's the engine. Set echo to sync mode to start. For timing, go left to 1/4 note, right to 1/8 note. Or, if you want more jungle style chatter, try 3/16 on the right side. Turn link off so left and right can be different. That little mismatch is a huge part of the classic ping Y complexity, without having to do anything fancy. Set feedback somewhere around 35 to 55% to start. Important, we're going to map feedback to a macro later and push it higher only for moments. Don't live at 80% all the time. Dub is about contrast. Dry/wet should be 100% because this is a return. If it's not 100% wet, you're effectively blending a duplicate dry signal and you can get facey, confusing results, especially when multiple tracks are feeding it. Now do the most DNB critical part. Filter inside echo. High pass around 200 to 350 Hz and low pass around 4 to 7 kHz. This is not optional. This is what keeps the delay from fighting your sub and low mids, and it stops the top end from turning into constant hiss. If you're running a dense rolling reese, don't be afraid to raise that high pass even higher, like 300 to 500 Hz. In DNB, dubby usually means darker and higher pass than you think. Add a bit of modulation for that tape wobble vibe. Amount around 10 to 25%, rate around 0.15 to 0.40 Hz. The idea it is gentle drift, not seasick chorus. If there's a noise control and you want a touch of vibe, keep it tiny, like 0 to 5%. This is seasoning. Alright, next device, auto filter, after echo. Set it to a low-pass 24 dB slope. That LP24 is a classic dub move. Start the cutoff around 2.5 kHz, with a workable range somewhere between 1.2 and 4 kHz to begin. Add a bit of resonance, like 15 to 30%. You want a little quack, but not a whistle. If auto filter has drive in your version, add 2 to 6 dB. Here's the concept to remember. In dub, as feedback rises, the filter usually closes. That makes repeats get darker over time, which feels authentic and also prevents painful buildup. Next, saturator for vintage tone and glue. Set saturator to analog clip. Drive around 2 to 8 dB. Turn soft clip on. Then adjust output so your return isn't suddenly way louder than it was. What we're doing here is making the repeats feel printed, like they're hitting hardware. That slight compression and thickness is the vintage part of this whole modern system. Now, the secret weapon for modern DNB control. Sidechain ducking. Add compressor after the saturator. Turn on sidechain. Set the sidechain input to your drum bus, or at least your main drums group. Ratio around 4 to 1. Attack 1 to 5 milliseconds, so it grabs quickly. Release around 80 to 180 milliseconds, but we'll tune it by feel in a second. Then pull the threshold down until the echo tucks under the kick and snare by about 3 to 6 dB on the hits. And here's a coach note. Duck timing matters more than duck amount in fast DNB. If the release is even a bit too long, it smears the groove, even if it's only ducking a few dB. At around 174 BPM, listen for the echo to recover in a way that feels like it pops back up between hits, almost like a 1/16th note recovery vibe. It doesn't need to be mathematically perfect. It needs to feel like it breathes with the drums. Finally, limiter. Put a limiter at the end. Ceiling at minus 1 dB. Leave gain at 0. This limiter is not for loudness. It's an airbag for those moments when you push feedback and drive and you get a little too excited. Okay, now we turn this chain into something performable. Select all devices on the return and group them into an audio effect rack. Create 8 macros. Macro 1. Feedback. Map it to echo feedback. Set the range roughly 35% to 85%. We're deliberately not mapping to 100. Self-oscillation can be cool, but it's also how you accidentally destroy your mix. Macro 2. Dub filter. Map auto filter frequency. Give it a wide performance range, something like 250 Hz up to 6K Hz. Macro 3. Filter res. Map resonance, maybe 10% to 40%. Enough to add character on moves, not enough to scream. Macro 4. Wow or drift. Map echo mod amount, around 8% to 35%. Macro 5. Time push. If you want cleaner modern control, keep echo in sync and map one side's delay time between 1/8 and 3/16. That gives you the switch up energy without the whole thing destabilizing. Time mode repitch slips are possible, but they're riskier. We'll talk about a safer way to do that later. Macro 6. Drive. Map saturator drive, something like 2 dB to 10 dB. Macro 7. Duck. Map the compressor threshold, and remember the behavior. Lower threshold equals more ducking, so set the mapping range so the macro gives you a meaningful duck increase, but doesn't completely disappear the delay forever. Macro 8. Optional but extremely useful. Return level. The cleanest way is to add a utility right before the limiter and map utility gain from minus infinity to 0 dB. This becomes your emergency mute or your dub on slash off switch without touching the return fader. Now, before we automate anything, let's calibrate the feedback ceiling properly. This is one of those pro habits that saves you later. Solo the return. Feed it a short click or a snare hit. Slowly raise the feedback macro until the repeats almost stop decaying. The moment it feels like it could sustain forever, back it off by about 5 to 10%. That's your true safe maximum for these exact filter and saturation settings. And remember, if you later change the filter cutoff a lot or push drive harder, stability changes, so recalibrate when you change the tone. Now the real dub trick. Automate the sends. The throws. Go to your snare track and find the send knob that feeds DUB echo. In arrangement view, enable automation. Most of the time, keep the send at minus infinity, meaning no send. Then on selected snares, like the end of an 8-bar or 16-bar phrase, spike the send up to around minus 6 dB to 0 dB. Then bring it back down fast, within an eighth note or a quarter note. That one move is the difference between my snare has delay on it and that snare just launched into space, but the groove stayed clean. Coach tip. If your snare track is heavily compressed or limited, the transient might be flattened and the throw feels less exciting. Try switching the send to pre-FX. In Ableton, you can right-click the send and choose pre. Now the delay is fed before your snare processing, so it can receive a snappier hit even if your snare channel is controlled. This is especially good if your drum bus glue is aggressive. Now do vocal chops or jungle stabs. Instead of a one-hit spike, automate a longer send, like half a bar, so multiple hits feed the delay. Then, while that's happening, automate your macros. This is where it turns into a performance. Let's program the signature dub moment. Feedback ride plus filter close. Over 1 to 2 bars. Do this. In bar 1 build. Raise feedback from about 45% up to 75 or even 85. At the same time, close the DUB filter from around 4K Hz down to about 800 Hz. Then in bar 2, release. Snap feedback back down to around 45 to 55, and open the filter back to around 2 to 4K Hz. The reason this works is psychoacoustics and mix control at the same time. As the feedback rises, the tail wants to build. Closing the filter makes it darker, which feels more dub, and it also prevents harsh accumulation. It's safe chaos. Now make it feel human. Avoid perfectly straight automation ramps. Use curves. Do an S-curve, a quick rise, a tiny hold at the top, then a quick drop. Add a couple extra automation points to create that little plateau. It reads like a hand on a mixer, not a line drawn with a mouse. Next, stereo discipline. Because DNB low end is sacred. The delay multiplies whatever you feed it. So if your throws contain low mids from stabs or toms, control that before it hits the delay. You can do this with utilities base mono around 120 to 200 HC if your live version has it, or use EQ8 and just high pass more aggressively. The point is, don't let stereo low end enter the feedback loop, because it will smear and bloom unpredictably. If you want subtle movement without turning it into trance, add autopan very gently after echo, rate at half a bar or 1 bar, amount 10 to 20%. Phase around 90 to 120 degrees. This makes repeat stance without pulling the entire mix sideways. Now let's talk advanced variations, because you're in the automation area of DNB production and you want options. One of the best upgrades is a dual time conversation delay. Make two echo characters, either in series or in parallel chains inside an audio effect rack. Echo A, short, tight, darker, like 1/16 or 1/8. Echo B, longer, like 1/4 or 3/16, wider, with more modulation. Then create a macro called a to be blend. Automate that blend so your fills lean into the longer, wilder tail without you changing the sends. It's like switching delay units mid-performance. Another power move, self-taming feedback. Map a single macro so that when feedback goes up, filter cutoff goes down automatically. One knob equals safe chaos. This is the modern version of what dub engineers did instinctively. Push the feedback, close the filter, keep it musical. If you want to hold vibe without runaway, try putting a gate after the delay and sidechain it from drums. When the drums hit, the gate closes slightly, grabbing the tail in a rhythmic way. It creates a stuttery controlled hold, especially on snare throws in minimal sections. And for truly risky pre-drop tape slip moments, here's the safer workflow. Keep your main return in sync mode for the entire track. Then duplicate the return or make a second dub return just for the fill. On that second return, set echo to time mode and automate small millisecond changes to get pitch drift. Use it for one moment, then switch back to the main sync return on the drop. This avoids destabilizing your core delay lane. Quick sound design extras if you want more age without wrecking the mix. Instead of distorting full band, do targeted mid-band distortion. Put EQ8 before saturator, bandpass roughly 700 Hz to 6K Hz, distort that, then EQ after to rebalance and still high pass the return. You get gritty vintage midrange, but your mix doesn't turn to fuzz. This audio version is shortened for playback.